Recorded Books presents Kissed by Shadows by Jane Feather, narrated by Jenny Sterling.
Prologue. Winchester, July 26th, 1554. The panelled chamber was in shadows. The only light thrown from a branched candelabrum on a side table that caught the deep fire of ruby, the golden glow of topaz, the rich flash of emerald, adorning the heavy silks and velvets of the six men in the chamber. The tall windows were shuttered, closing out the warm summer night, and the air in the chamber was stifling. The men were sweating, dark patches staining the thickly embroidered brocade of their doublets, rivulets trickling down the back of their necks, where their hair clung wet beneath jewelled velvet caps. As a group, they approached the daybed that stood in deepest shadow against the wall. The bed was draped with a white sheet, and the still figure upon it looked as if she lay upon her bier. One arm hung down, the fingertips brushing the rich Turkey carpet. Her hair, the colour of cinnamon, was loose on the pillow, her thin frame clad only in a linen nightshift. Freckles were visible, even in the shadowed gloom, standing out harshly against the extreme pallor of her countenance. Paper-thin eyelids fluttered as if she were dreaming, and then were still again.
"You are certain she is aware of nothing?"
The question was startling as it broke the almost reverent silence in the chamber. The voice, although barely more than a whisper, was a thickly accented rasp.
"She is unconscious, Your Majesty. She will not come to herself for many hours."
One of his companions moved up to stand beside him as he looked down upon the woman.
"Indeed, Your Majesty, this will not even invade her dreams."
The king turned his head towards this last speaker. He gave a short, sardonic laugh.
"In general, Rui, my companions in the games of love are honored and pleasured by my attentions. This is no game of love, Philip. 'Tis insurance," the other said quietly, with the familiarity of an old and intimate friend.
The king touched his fingers to his lips, stroked his short beard.
"I have no need of the reminder, Rui."
Rui Gomez merely nodded.
"Shall we withdraw, sir? Or if Your Majesty prefers, we could move the screen to give you privacy."
One of the others gestured to a tall screen that stood in front of the empty hearth. The king looked at the circle of solemn faces around him. His eye fell on one man, who stood isolated from the rest, in the far corner of the chamber. His face was shuttered, averted from the daybed, every line of his body indicating the most acute discomfort.
"There is no need for the husband to remain," the king stated. "My Lord Nielsen, you may wait in the antechamber."
The man bowed jerkily and hurried from the chamber without once glancing towards the daybed.
"Bring forward the screen, and the rest of you may withdraw beyond it."
The king's voice was harsh and determined, as if he had resolved finally upon executing a distasteful duty. His orders were obeyed.
"A single candle at the head," the king instructed.
Rui Gomez removed a lit candle from the candelabrum and placed it in the sconce on the wall above the daybed. Then he bowed and withdrew. The light shone down on the pale countenance, the still white figure. The king stood in shadow at the foot of the bed. He unlaced his hose of white doeskin, loosened his doublet of cloth of gold, and brusquely moved aside the woman's linen shift. He looked down at her as she lay in the pool of golden light. Then he leaned forward to part the milky thighs, to run his hands over the pale skin of her belly. Beyond the screen, the four men waited. The silence in the chamber was profound. It was almost as if it were inhabited only by statues. When the king emerged from behind the screen, they seemed to exhale as one.
"It is done," he stated. "Take her to her husband."
The man who now approached the daybed was dressed with more simplicity than his companion.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?